Hallelujah. If you would, I'll go ahead and get right into the Word of God. Turn over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to just scan through quite a bit of this chapter. There is three different individuals that's going to receive a miracle. This chapter is really powerful. Three incredible miracles happen here, and they're very much parallel with each other. We live in an hour to where I watch it, I feel it, I see it in our church, I see it even in my own personal life and extended family. The enemy comes against us, and I think that's why the Lord has been giving all these messages of encouragement to kind of stick in there and hang in there and get a hold of the strength. The Lord's going to come through and do mighty things, because the enemy comes against each of us individually and tries to weaken us and tries to discourage us and tries to get you to kind of hold back, lay back, and don't push, don't resist, just go with the status quo. And he wants us to be weak, and he doesn't want us to receive strength. That's his number one tactic in the church. He loves a weak church. He loves it. He don't care if you come. As long as you stay weak, he's got you right where he wants you. But the Lord offers us something more. The Lord has victory. There's going to be several people in this chapter. There is a ton of people that could have had their needs met. The three distinct different people, the book of Mark, Mark the writer is telling us what it takes to touch Jesus. And I want to preach just a few minutes on when we touch Jesus. And listen, the first eight verses says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man can bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he saith unto them, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 21. Here's the second part. And when Jesus had passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and throng him. And here's the third, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I'll stop there for now, and let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. And God, I pray that, God, that you would open up and speak through me, not me, but you. That, God, we would see that everything we're looking for is right here tonight. It's you, Lord. We must touch you. We can't do anything, Lord, but we need to touch you. God, you're the answer to every one of our problems. Lord, you're exactly why, Lord, what we're looking for. You're the answer to every situation that we've got. You're the answer for First Pentecostal Church. You're the answer for every family, for every single person here. We must touch you, Lord. That's where the answer lies. And Lord, I pray that you would speak and that, God, you would show us your word and, God, bring us to the altar. And, God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just preach just a few minutes on we must touch Jesus. All three of these circumstances, these are three different individuals. They're all in a different area, living in a different place, going through three different total situations. And every single one of them was in a hopeless situation. Legion, he was possessed. It says there was thousands of demons in him. He didn't start that way. He didn't intend to get this way. We don't see exactly what happened to him in his past, but somehow there was a spiritual stronghold in his life, and the demonic forces took control of his life. One by one, he became more and more filled with the presence of the enemy and Satan, and he finds himself in such a state that they had to drive him out of the city, and he's wandering in the tombs. He's in a hopeless situation. There's no way that he can do anything to save himself. He just daily, night and day, he's running through the tombs, cutting himself, crying out, looking for help. There is no hope. And he doesn't know what to do. At the same exact time, we see that this woman, or Jairus, it says that he is a leader in the temple. It says that he has a position of leadership, and other people come to him looking for the answers. He's probably got wealth. Everything's going fine. We see one of the other Gospels tells us that his daughter was 12 years of age, and she is probably, it's his only daughter, and she's no doubt the light of his life. There's something about daughters and fathers. There's just, there's sons and daughters. It seems like sons navigate toward mothers, and daughters usually navigate toward those dads. At least that's my experience, and they seem like they know how to twist all the little the right things to get you to do what they want, and they know how to talk to you and talk to you sweet, and you just seem like you melt in their hands. And no doubt this was the same case in this man's life, and everything was going fine in his life. Then all of a sudden something happened. His light of his life, his little daughter, his only daughter, come down with a sickness. Now, he probably did everything he could. He probably run to doctors, and he probably tried to get a cure, and he tried to do everything in his power to do something for his daughter, but he finds out that quickly his hope is fading. His hope is going away, and there's nothing he can do as he watches her. It says here when he comes to Jesus and he tells her that she's at the point of death, that if you look at the real meaning of this, it says that she's actually gasping her last breath when I left. He knows that probably even at this moment that she's already died. He knows it was probably even futile to even leave, but he was so desperate that he left, and he came running for the one that he knew. He knew that nothing else could do anything for him. But he knew of this Jesus that he had been watching and listening to. He had seen miracles that had been done, and he comes to Jesus, his only hope, and knowing that it's probably too late, he's going to reach out. He's going to give it one last thrust. He knows, and he says here, Lord, if you will come and touch her, I know she'll be made whole. At the exact same time, we see this woman with an issue of blood. Also 12 years, this little girl's 12 years of age. Interesting, she's 12 years of age, and this woman that comes to him has had an issue of blood for 12 years. Every day that little girl was alive, this woman had been suffering. Slowly, she just got weaker and weaker. It says in Scripture that she had spent everything she had. She had done everything in her power. She had found every person that could help her and done everything that was possible to try to get an answer for her problem, only to find that Scripture says that she was not better, but even worse. She was out of money, she was out of options, and she was desperate for something to happen. All three of these are different situations, but they're parallel. The wondrous thing to know is that Jesus knew about every one of these needs. He's going to take us through through the Scripture here. We can see he's trying to teach us something. You see, there's three different needs here, and no matter what your problem that you're facing, it's probably going to fall in one of these three things. The first one, Legion, was having a spiritual. He had an incredible spiritual need. He was under the influence of the oppression and possession of the devil. He had spiritually bound him. You know what? The enemy tonight in your life, just because you go to church, doesn't mean that he's not going to try to come against you and try to bind you, or to try to get some habit in your life to where he can put chains around you. He wants to discourage you to come to church and go through the service and leave and nothing happened, that you come and you go out the same way you came in, and then he'll meet you at the doors. You go out and say, see there, it doesn't do anything to go any good to go to church. You might as well just stay at home. He wants to bind you spiritually. We look at the second situation. We look at the woman with the issue of blood. It was a physical problem. He'll come against you in your physical body. He'll try to get you discouraged and say, you're going through things and God's turned his back on you. There's no sense calling out on God anymore because he doesn't hear you and he doesn't care. And you might as well stay home. You might as well just give up because there's nothing's going to happen. You're just going to suffer with this the rest of your life. He tries to discourage us in our own body. And then the other one is our family. This man, this ruler of the synagogue, his daughter, it wasn't his own need, but he was coming, interceding for someone else. How many of our families have we got someone that we need to get a hold of God for because they can't do it themselves? They're not doing anything, and it's going to take us getting a hold of the Master to intercede for that family member. He's letting us see here all three of these situations. They were impossible. There was no answer. There was no amount of money. There was nothing they could do in the flesh that could fix these problems. They were doomed. And anybody around them said, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Just give up. Just like Lot's wife, just give up. Just turn your back on God and die. It's all over. There's nothing that you can do. Well, there's five things we want to see tonight. Really quickly, five things that when we touch Jesus, we've got to get to Jesus. We've got to touch him, every single one of you. There's five things that happens that we're going to learn, that we're going to discover when we touch Jesus. Listen, we're doing some things with the youth and trying to get them kind of encouraged and kind of get some things going with them. Listen, if there's anything that from the youth all the way to the oldest person here tonight, I want you to know there's only one thing that you need to know here tonight, that no matter what your problem, you need to touch Jesus. Don't go out those doors. Don't try to do it in yourself. All three of these people were at their end. They couldn't do anything in themselves. You got to touch Jesus. There's when we touch Jesus, number one, we're going to find out that nothing is impossible. You know what? Every one of these situations, there was nothing. You couldn't have tried to plan how God could have intervened. It looked hopeless. Legion, he's over away, and he's over on the other side of the Galilean Sea. He's on where the Gadarenes. He's not where Jesus is. It looks hopeless. You know what? Yeah, they might have heard of Jesus across the sea, but this man is where Jesus isn't. But what happens? Jesus knows where he is. Jesus knows exactly where you're going. Our Lord knows exactly what you're going through. It says that he got on a ship and he goes across the sea, and he comes out on the bank exactly where this man was. It wasn't by happenstance. It wasn't just some circumstance that he just happened to show up there and, oh, by the way, here is someone who needs. He came out to the exact point where this man was, who had an incredible need, because he seen the need and he knew this man needed a Savior, and he came to him. Just like the woman at the well, he has divine appointments to show up when you need him the most. We see that he showed up where this man was. And this man, it says, soon as he seen him, he run. And what did he do? He fell at his feet. He fell at his feet. He comes back after delivering this man and doing a mighty miracle. We find a man who was the whole town was afraid of, that he delivered him. And he was in such a immediate transformation in all three of these situations. Immediate turn situation around to where this guy was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. The people were astonished at what had happened. He gets back in the boat. He goes back across. And the moment he gets at the other shore, another man meets him there. He knows exactly where you are. He comes to this man in his most dire need. He steps out, and this man, who was a person that probably normally might have been reserved and afraid to admit he knows him or call on him, but he's got a need so desperate that he runs and he busts through everybody else. And where does he go? He falls just like the legion did. He falls at his feet and he says, Master, he compelled him, you've got to do something in my situation. I can't do anything. My daughter's at the point of death. I know it's probably too late. You're my only hope. And we see that he cries out and he hangs on until Jesus says, I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to meet your need. At the exact same time, we've got another need. We got a woman who's had this problem, this had this disease in her blood, and she's at the point of death, and she's given up all hope. And this, she said within herself, if I could just get, Jesus is coming. If I could just touch him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. This is probably this robe. This there's this little a covering that goes over the robe that was required by Jews to wear, and it had tassels on the bottom of it. And she said, if I could just touch the tassel, if I could just get to the bottom of his, I don't have to interrupt him. I don't have to say anything, but if I could just reach out and get where he is and touch him, I know he can make a difference in my life. You know what? The devil didn't want any of these people to get their needs met. And tonight he wants to tell you that, you know what, this is the way things are going to be. Church is just going to be this way from now on. And these problems that's going on in our families, it seems like we keep praying and things are not changing. It's just going to be that way. You might as well give up hope. He tells you lies that you've got a problem in your body. Well, it just might as well give up because nothing's going to change. He's not come through yet. He wants you to believe that there's no hope, but Jesus Christ is the answer. He wants us to get just like these three people and realize that nothing is impossible. You see, with God, our impossibilities become divine opportunities. When we get in the situation to where we don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there with that problem? You just didn't know what to do. You just didn't understand. There was nothing in your mind that you could even come up with. Oh, I'm telling you that we go through those things, and if you haven't, you're going to. If you haven't, you're going to. You're going to run up against things. And you know what we normally do? The flesh says, well, I can take care of that. That's what normally happens is we try to do things in our own flesh and we try to exhaust all of our resources and then we try to exhaust all of our friends' resources and all the medical resources and all the things that we go through all this suffering when if we would just learn this one thing that there's one secret. We've got to touch Jesus. We got to get to Him. We got to get to His feet and fall before Him and let Him do a mighty work in our life. We need to learn that there is nothing impossible with Him. Number two, He is the answer for every situation. All three of these different needs, spiritual, physical, intercession for a family, all three of them were different, but He's the answer for all three. You see, what was amazing that in every one of these circumstances, there was people all around them. Look at this woman with the issue of blood. It says that if you look at the text and see, talking about this word thronging, it says that it was like they were pinning Him in. There was so many people that had come out just to see what He was going to do, that had heard Him speak and wanted to hear Him preach to them or see Him do a miracle in somebody else's life, but they didn't come to get anything for themselves. But this woman was different. She was weak, and she was in need, and she had to touch Him. It says that they were thronging around Him to where it was almost like He couldn't breathe. It was that thick with people. But we need to realize that He's the answer. I don't care what the obstacle the devil puts in your way, and he's going to. You're going to come up against things in your life, and you may be going through it right now, that you think it's almost like you can't breathe. The enemy comes against you with such an attack and assault, like I think Brother Jarvis was mentioning the other night, that he's bombarding you from every side, and it's almost like you can't even catch a breath. You don't understand what's going on. You think it's not fair. You don't understand because every direction you turn, it seems like the enemy's coming in like a flood. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the answer. He is always the answer to every problem. We need to learn to call out on Him. He is the one that will be. He is always faithful. He is always there. He is the answer to your need. And the enemy wants you to think that you haven't got any hope. He wants to take away the hope in your life. He wants you to think things are different now. The Lord's not going to move. God's not going to pour out His Spirit. But oh, that's a lie. The enemy, he is the answer to every single problem that you're going to go through. He is the answer. It's not something newfangled technique. We're not going to come up with some type of new service or new program or new thing that's going to cause us to get a hold of God. But we need to get back to that old-fashioned getting a hold of the altar and saying, Lord, nothing else is going to satisfy me. I've got to get a hold of You. He is the answer to every problem. And number three, He's always there on time, every time, even though you look at these circumstances. You look at Lazarus. Look at Lazarus. It looked like he was late. It looked like he had forgotten. He didn't care. Their hearts were broken because they knew if he would come before he passed away. They knew because he loved Lazarus so much that he could meet the need. Jairus knew that his daughter was probably already dead. And even on the way as he was going to back to his house, the word came to him and says, give up. It's too late. Don't trouble the master any further. Because she's already passed away. And what did Jesus say to him? Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. Oh, we just got to keep our confidence in Him. No matter what you're... Listen, we're in a dark hour, and it's going to take every bit of the faith and confidence you've got. The enemy's going to come in and try to cause us to fear and cause us to give up hope. But when you get in that circumstance that it seems like there is no light, that you're looking up to see the bottom, that's the circumstance when we need to realize that He's always right there on time. Every single time that we've needed Him. How many of you could testify tonight, and we could probably spend quite a bit of time to testify how God come through at the nick of time. That when you go back and see how He provided, that He started way back before the problem even started, and He was already bringing the deliverance even before you started into the problem. Oh, God is faithful. He's there right on time. This man, when he was walking in the tombs, he was at the point of just giving up hope. He didn't know what he was going to do. It says that Jesus stepped out on the answer, stepped out on the shore. His answer came to Jesus is right there all the time. He's waiting for His people who will call out on Him. He's waiting for His people who will call His name and saying, Lord, I run to You. I give up my hope, my dreams of anything else. Lord, it's You that I long for. He looks at His church as we try everything but Him. He looks at His church as we become anemic and we become satisfied not calling out on Him. Listen, He wants you to give up. He doesn't want you to call out on Him. He wants you to give up. He doesn't want you. The enemy wants us to give up hope. But the Lord says, just call out on Me. I'm right there all the time. There was people in this crowd with this woman. There was a bunch of needs. No doubt there was other people that came there with needs. But they came to see something happen. But they didn't come to touch Him themselves. How many people went home that night? How many people went home that day from seeing these miracles, all these things that Jesus did, and all they got to do was say, I got close to Him, and I got to see this. But they come home, and they had the same exact problem that they did. Listen, if it hadn't been for these people getting this desperate situation in their heart, if they hadn't got to this place to where they were saying, I've got to touch Him. I've got to touch Him. No matter what anybody else does today, no matter how long it takes me to get to Him, no matter how much strength I have to give, no matter how embarrassing it is to crawl through this crowd, I've got to touch Him. If they hadn't have got to that place in their soul that says, there is nothing going to meet my need but Jesus Christ. There's nothing that's going to meet my need. I've got to touch Him. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I've got to touch Him. I don't care what it takes. I've got to touch Him, and that's what it's going to take in the hour that we live. We've got to say, I've got to touch Him. What's going on in your life? What's going on in your family? What are we seeing that's going on and that we're just satisfied with? We're just accepting these things. And the Lord says, if you'll just call on Me, if you'll just call on Me and put your confidence in Me, if you'll do like these people, and all three of these came, and where do we find them? At His feet. We find them coming before Him and worshiping Him and saying, Lord, I realize that I'm nothing, that You have the answer that I'm looking for. And Lord, I call out on You and I put my confidence in You, for You are my hope. In every single one of these times, every one of these circumstances that we see, that Jesus lifts up those who humble themselves before Him. They come before Him and they fell at His feet and said, I got to touch You, Lord. I've got to touch You. You see, I've got an incredible need and I can't wait till tomorrow. I can't wait for the next service to come. I can't wait for somebody to bring another revival. I've got to touch You tonight because of my life, my family, my whole world is coming to a close and I've got to touch You. You see, the devil says, wait, just wait. You don't have to do anything right now. You just wait till the next service. There's going to be something happen in the next week, or revival's going to be ready to start up in a month or something, and you can get a hold of God then. But the Lord says, I'm available. I'm here all the time. I'm right here. You get up in the morning, I'm waiting on you. You come into prayer service, I'm sitting here waiting on you. You get them on a Wednesday night and you don't feel like it. When the altar's open, I'm right here available. He's not worried about what time of day. He doesn't get tired. He's there right on time, and He has the answer we're looking for, and He can meet her. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to meet our needs. And we are the ones that have the limitation that says, well, I'll just hang on to it a little longer. I've not got to the point that these three people are. I've not got to the point of desperation that I'm still trying it on my own, Lord. I think I can do this. I think I can do it. That's not the way it should work. His ideal is for us to say right at the very beginning of the problem, I don't care what I can do. I know that I fail on a regular basis. I know if I do anything in myself, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I just go running to Him. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. If we end up in this altar every single night and people are wondering, what are you doing so much praying? Oh, you can say, I'm getting a hold of Jesus because I know He's got the right answer. I know He's got the answer that I'm looking for. Oh, He's there. He's there. He's there. Oh, He lifts those people up who humble themselves before him. All three of these people, we find them, they run to him. They run and bow down before him, and they reach out and they say, I got to touch you, Lord. Lord, I got to touch you. That's what we need tonight. Listen, even when you go home tonight, let that ring in your ears. I got to touch you, Lord. When you go to bed tonight, the last thing you say, Lord, I've got to touch you. And when you're praying in the service or in the altar, or when you get up in the morning, or when you go to work, be thinking, Lord, I've got to touch you. None of these things are important, Lord. I got to touch you for that person in my family. Lord, I got to touch you for this church or for this responsibility, for the class that I teach. Lord, I got to touch you for my lost son or daughter or those people that you're working on. And Lord, I'm a vessel that, Lord, you're going to use. God, I got to touch you because there's opportunities going. There is people that went home and that we never heard anything. This chapter could have been filled over and over, story after story, if people would have just said, I want it too. I want it too. I want to get a hold. I don't care what it takes. But we only see there's three great, awesome miracles. But the Lord's power was not limited to that. He could have touched every single person. That's what he wants to do tonight. What is your problem? What is your situation? Oh, when we touch Jesus, we find nothing is impossible. We find he's the answer to every problem. We find he's always right on time, every time. We find that he lifts up those who are humbled before him. And then we find when we touch him, we will never be the same. Every one of these circumstances, can you imagine the revival, the fire that happened in that? You think they went to bed on time that night? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Jairus' daughter? Oh, she's sitting at the table, and he's sitting there and just, let me just touch you one more time. Oh, I know you was dead. I watched you. There was no life in you. Everybody laughed at Jesus when he said she just sleeps. Oh, I didn't know. I knew I had to go get him, and I knew it was my only hope, but I thought my hope was all gone when I seen you lifeless and no color in you. But all he said was, little damsel, rise up. You know what this verse, if you were to interpret in modern day English, it was little lamb, wake up. Little lamb, wake up. He talked to her with such a loving, caring. He loves us so much. He has the answer. He wasn't afraid. He speaks life into that situation. Whatever's going on, and you have that the person in your family that you think there is no spiritual life. You think there isn't a bit of hope. You don't see how in the world there could be any hope. Jesus Christ can speak life into that. He can do the mighty, miraculous thing if we just get a hold of him. There's people that we need to get a hold of him for. We need to touch him because our lives will never be the same. He wants to do miraculous things in this church. He wants to turn your... Listen, you don't have to carry that weight anymore. You don't have to have that fear anymore. You don't have to see that problem anymore. You don't have to go around not knowing what you're going to do. And if you're not going through it now, you're going to eventually go through it. Listen, every young person, the most important thing you could ever say is I learned to touch Jesus, that I came to him before I ever got old enough to run into these crises in my life. I learned at an early age to get a hold of him and touch him, to get in the altar till his presence just flowed over me like a river. Oh, things change when we get a hold of him. We see this woman that says that she immediately felt strength in her body. She immediately felt what she had never felt for 12 years. She felt not just getting better. She didn't feel like, oh, something's probably happened. All of a sudden, the energy, all her body was made totally well. She felt wondrous. She knew that something had happened. And he stopped and said, who touched me? Do you think he didn't know who touched him? Do you think he had to have her tell him who touched him? This is God himself. No, I think he did that for a testimony to others. Who he said, who touched me? And they said, the disciples almost mockingly, Jesus, you people's thronging you. They're just pinning you in on every side, and you're asking who's touching you. But he says, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, no, they're brushing up against me. But someone touched me by faith. Someone reached out and got a hold of something, and it's available to everyone that was in this crowd. All these other people come up to me and was able to say that they brushed against me. We can come into these services, and we can have a service like last Sunday morning when God's presence is moving, and some people has tears running down their face, and some people's receiving what they need, and just some people is just kind of watching from the distance and be able to say, well, I was in a service, and I seen God move. I got kind of close. I even felt some goosebumps on the back of my neck where I could tell his presence was moving and stuff. But did you touch him? Did you touch him? He's here. He comes into this place. He comes in this altar. He stands here and he says, who wants me bad enough? They'll come and they'll bow themselves and they'll put everything else. You see, their priorities change. When you go through these troubles, your priorities change. Nothing else is going to be more important. If you're at your last breath, if you have that son or daughter that's at their last point of breath and you know that it's hopeless, we come running. We have a different situation. We need to get a hold of him. And he wants us as First Pentecostal Church to say, look around. Look at the fields. Look at our families. Look at what's going on around us. Is it not time to touch him? Or what do we have to pay? What price do we have to sacrifice? And say, that's enough before we get to the place where we learn to get a hold of him and touch him. Let's stand tonight. Almighty God, Lord God, I pray that you, God, try to glean something, Lord, out of what I've said, Lord, that God, you would open our eyes, that we'd be able to see, and God, that we would be drawn, that our hearts would melt within us, God, that we'd be able, Lord, to feel your presence, and God, hear your voice calling to us and say, here I am. Here I am, just touch me, come to me, and I will touch you. And I want to do a mighty work in your life. If you'll just come to me, if you'll just melt before me, if you'll just surrender everything to me, I want to do a mighty work. I want to do mighty things in your life. If you'll just quit trying to carry it on your own, if you'll quit just being discouraged in your own strength, but if you'll come to me, I'll be your strength. Oh, that's what he wants to do, Lord. I pray that, God, that you do it, Lord, that you let us have hope rise up in our heart. That, God, that we get desperate for, Lord, a move of your presence. And, God, that we call out on you. And, God, that we touch you and find you faithful. And, God, that you do the work you want to do in this place. Hallelujah. If someone would come to the piano. Oh, tonight, here's another opportunity. God wants to move. God wants to work. God wants to do mighty things in our church if we will only let him. You know what we have to do first? God, God, give me a hunger for you. God, give me a hunger for you. Touching Jesus. If you know that song. Touching Jesus. If we get to that place, God, give me a hunger. God, give me a desire. I've been praying that the last several days. God, God, let me touch you. Let me touch you, for Lord, you're trying to do some things in my life. And Lord, if I don't touch you, if I don't get a hold of you, if I don't, God, get a hold of you for the others that you want me to, if I don't see that my need is insufficient, I can't do it myself, that I can't do anything in my own self, I got to touch you. If I can't, I've got to get a hold of him, and so do you. So do you. We've got to touch him. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus. Touching Jesus is all that matters. Your life will never be the same if only there's one way to touch him. Oh, just believe when you call on his name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, touching Jesus is all that matters. Your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch him. Oh, just believe when you call on his name. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, he's here. He wants to move. Oh, he wants to move in your life. He wants for you to be able to say, I touched him. I touched him. I didn't know what I was going to do. I carried it for so long, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I tried everything in my own strength. I tried everything, and I came to the altar. And all I did was come to him and give it all up. All my efforts were just vain, and I just threw them all at his feet and said, I can't do it, Lord. I touch you. I want you to touch me. I want you to take over. You know, oh, he loves it. He loves it. This woman that touched him, he said, your faith, oh, go home and rejoice because your faith, because you come to me. You quit doing it in yourself. You quit trying to find another doctor. You quit trying to find another test and treatment. You come to me, you're going to go home changed forever. You never have to worry about it again. Oh, oh, this ruler, his daughter, oh, every birthday, he must have just said, praise God. Praise God. I came to Jesus. There was no hope. I was empty. I thought my world had come to an end. Oh, thank you, Lord. I come to him. That's the best thing I ever did. We see this man, this legion, full and full of bondage. It seemed like there was no hope. You would have wrote him off. He would have been the least likely to ever succeed. We see him probably. If you look at what's going on in his life down the road, he's got the church going in the middle of town. He's probably a pastor. He's telling people, let me tell you what happened to me. You remember that guy that used to run around naked and scared the entire town? Look at me. Oh, let me tell you about it. I run to Jesus, and I fell at his feet. And look what's happened to me. Oh, that could be our story too. We don't have to go through all those things, but we can come to him. I don't care how little it is. I don't care how big it is. He's here, and he wants to move. If you could, this altar's open. Let's find a place. Then let's touch him tonight. Oh, let's get a hold of the Lord and say, God, oh, hallelujah, you come. Oh, Lord, here I am, Lord. I don't know what to do. God, I don't know what to do in my life, Lord. I know I keep running into problems and getting discouraged and don't know what to do. But, Lord, I run to you. Lord, I know that when I come to you and I get a hold of you, you're going to turn it around. You're going to do mighty things in my life. Oh, he wants to prove himself. He has power that he wants to do mighty things in your life. Oh, God, have your way in this place tonight. God, stir us. God, meld us, Lord. Give us courage and strength. God, let us pour ourselves out before you, humbling ourselves before you and allowing you to do what you want. Lord, you want to bring revival in every single life, every single home that's in this church tonight. Lord, you want to use this core group, Lord, to do mighty things. Lord, bring hope. God, do mighty works that we receive testimonies of your mighty faithfulness, Lord. God, start tonight. Stir us. Lord, let us not come and just, God, be casual. But God, let a desperation rise up in her soul. It says, no, Lord, I got to have more. I got to touch you. I've got to get a hold of you. Hallelujah. Oh, we need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, dear.